Well, last week I made up a sermon on my way to Phil and Jenny Gilardi Academy. And if you weren't there, I actually told everyone, I confessed that I got honked at a few times because I'm driving with my steering wheel like this and my Bible open on it. I'm like trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to say? Like, I'm looking in the back of my Bible, power out. No, nothing. Nothing. Okay, what should I say then? You know? And so I was trying to figure it out all the way. And so we sort of strayed a little bit last week from the series that we've been walking in, but it was a great Sunday anyways. The week before that, we started a series called What If We? What If We? Sometimes we just think all about what if God would just do something. We say, God, we're just going to sit here and wait for you to do something because you're God and you're so powerful. And God, I believe, sometimes looking back at us and saying, stop asking me to do the things that you can do. Do them. Do the things that you can do. I'll do the things that you can't do. I'll do the greater things. I'll do the things that are too difficult. I'll do the impossible. I'll do the stuff that you're even a little bit afraid to dream of or to ask for. I'll do those big things, and you do the things that you can do. So what if we, the first week we said, what if we made room for more? What if we made room for more in this church? It was a very practical sermon, and we decided at that point, actually I had decided a little bit before that point, but we mentioned at that point that we're going to add a service to this church. So starting February 7th, we won't have a 10 a.m. service. If you show up here at 10 a.m., you're either late or very early for a service. February 7th, 9:30 is the first service, 11:15 is the next. That's what we're doing. We're making more room. We're going to have a few empty spaces. You're going to look around and see some empty spaces. And we said, those are your mission field. That's your dream then all of a sudden. That's the faith steps where we say there's empty seats, so let's fill them. Let's see people come to know Jesus Christ and fill the seats in the church. So that's what we decided to do. What if we made room for more? And this week, what if we all played our part? What if we all took a little piece of the pie? What if we all decided that we'd give a little bit of something to this? Just a little spoiler, at the end of this service, I'm going to line up four directors of ministries for Sunday mornings, and I'm going to ask you, if you don't serve on a Sunday, you should sign up to serve sometime, either once a week, once a month, once every second week. Just jump in, take a little piece of that. So just so you know, that's where we're going. When I look down at the Bible, if you want to leave, you can. There we are. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. In other words, do not use your freedom for yourself. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Serve one another humbly in love. I grew up at a camp for a long time. Actually, our high school program from this church went to this camp last summer and will again this summer. It's called the Nuspe Camp. And I went there for quite a few years. I have some family involved in it, and I decided to take part in it as well. And the camp, throughout the week, there's sports that you play. You're put on a team, and there's sports that you play against other teams. And sort of every year you go back, you're put on the same team. You know, they've built this culture around these athletics. So you go in and there's banners all up in the chapel and it says, these teams won these years, and there's plaques of all the names of the teams and all of this stuff. There's trophies that we get. All they've really tried hard to push the idea that you get put on a team, you build with a team, you fight with a team, and then you win or lose with a team. Most lose. Unfortunately, that's the reality of sports. But there's one sport at camp every year that people say, this is the stupidest sport at camp. We don't like this sport. It doesn't work for it. It doesn't make any sense. And they always said it was a toss-up. You never know if you're going to win or lose. It doesn't matter if you have a lot of good athletes. You never know if you're going to win or lose. It just doesn't matter. So we should drop that sport from camp. The sport was volleyball. Any volleyball fans in the room? A few boos. Some people are like, that's a sport? Come on, what are you talking about? No, well, so volleyball was this sport that, like, you could be the best team at camp, but you could still lose volleyball, and you'd have no idea why. I think, why was that such a hard sport? I was trying so hard, and I was giving my all. Why didn't we win? And I watched it as I was a teen. I watched how it happened and what happened during volleyball and what took place. And eventually when I was a coach, I set up a new plan for how I was going to win games of volleyball. I was going to set up a strategy that actually would work. And it did. And we had some awesome upsets. And the strategy was to value every member of the team. That was it. Pretty tricky. Value every member of the team. That was it. The only plan. Let's just value everyone who's on this team. The best player and the worst player. Let's just cheer them all on. Let's get excited about all of them. Because inevitably, what would happen in volleyball every year, because there were 9 players on the court, and there were people lined up on the side, and your best players, no matter what, they'd have to play all the positions, and then they'd have to come off. Your best players couldn't play the whole game. In lacrosse, your best player could grab the ball, run, score, run back. Grab the ball, run, score, come back. Volleyball, it doesn't work that way. The ball's going to come over, and it's maybe not going to go to your best player. In fact, if the other team has any brains, it won't. If they have good sportsmanship, it will, though. So we can always accuse them of that. That's always what we had. But anyways, we decided, this was my pep talk before the game. We'd play a little bit, and we'd hit some balls. Some kids have never even hit a volleyball. Like, set, you're teaching them just the basics of how to play volleyball. And then I would always sit around and say, win or lose, we do it as a team. And win or lose a point, we cheer for the person. So if someone gets a point, we cheer for them. If someone misses a point, we cheer for them. We look ridiculous. And so we'd cheer like crazy. It was just wild. Someone would totally mess up a shot, and we'd all, yeah! Woo! And we'd run on and high fives, and then people are like, what is going on? They don't understand how volleyball works, I guess, right? It doesn't make sense. What are they doing? And so we would do that every time. We'd just try to encourage every person on this team is valuable, because you'd have inevitably someone who was really good at volleyball, and here's what they would do. They'd stand in the middle, the ball comes over there, they run over 3 people, try to dive for it, don't get it over the net, so they have to stand up, someone else doesn't get it, and then they yell at them. Why didn't you get the ball? Haven't you played volleyball before? They're like, no, I haven't actually. Sorry. And all of a sudden, that person who's getting yelled at is standing like this. You know, you're not getting anything to that. They just pass the ball, like they get hit in the head, or something drops around them. All of a sudden, they're getting yelled at more. The best players are saying, why don't you just be more like me? I could win this game myself. No, you can't win a team sport by yourself, by the way. I could do this all by myself. Watch me. I'll just do it. This is going to be it. And they would always lose. There was this one time. It was one of the most epic sports moments in the history of sport. This girl on the team, it was the 2 top teams. The winners of that volleyball game that day won all of camp. 2 top teams. So we're at the end. It can go up to 5 games if we tie up to that point. Well, it went up to 5 games. And then we went to it was literally the last point. It's rally point. And so if she got this serve over the net and we won the point, then we won. If not, it went back to them. It was really easy for them to win. They were in the same boat as us. And so this girl hadn't hit the ball over 1 time that day. Yeah. As a coach, I'm like, fake an injury or something. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Every team member is valued, okay? Every team member is valued. So I'm watching. I'm like, oh, no, what is going to happen here? I'm sort of closing my eyes. But every single time she's missed all the way along, everyone's cheered for her. Yeah! She's like, I don't get this, but okay, that's fun. Yeah, thanks. And she's at the end there, the last point of the day, potentially. And she's swinging her arms like this. Sometimes if you see this swing, you're thinking, this isn't going to go well right away. Right away, you know, this isn't going to go well. And she's swinging, getting ready to hit the ball. We're all looking on, and we're whispering to each other, whatever happens, we cheer. Whatever happens, we cheer. You know? And she goes, hits the ball, soars up. A bald eagle grabs it out of the air. Just kidding. Just kidding. That would have been cool too, but no, it didn't happen. Hits the ball, literally drops, no one touches it, lands on their side. We win camp. We won camp. She didn't hit it over one time. And everyone did this. No one knew what had happened. Honestly, we were ready for her to fail. And she, all of a sudden, she hits it over. And we're like, we've been cheering for her failures. What do we do when she wins? Like, the system's all messed up in our heads, right? We don't get what's going on. And so it was just crazy. There's pictures at camp of her being held on our best player's shoulders. And everyone around like, yeah! It was just the most incredible moment of camp. And certainly for her, one of the most special moments that she's had. Every team member needs to be valued if we plan on doing anything with team. There's going to be some people who are gifted in certain ways. And sometimes in the church, we like to celebrate those giftings as if they make us set apart for something, as if they cause us to be something. You know, some of us say, well, I have the spiritual gift of teaching, so unless there's a stage, I don't do anything. You know, or I have this certain spiritual gift, or I have this certain talent. I'm really good on piano. I'm really good at music. So unless I get a chance to be on the worship team, there's no team for me here. Sometimes we become the people who are plowing over other people on our team so that we can run the whole game ourselves, so that we can take the position ourselves, so that we can get the glory ourselves. And God is saying to us, I believe, and if you read through Scripture and look at the body of Christ and look at everyone playing their roles, I believe God is saying to us and here now that there's no room for heroes besides Jesus Christ. There's no room here for someone to be the champion, the hero, the story other than Jesus Christ. Paul says all of these things, we all have different gifts, same God. We all have different talents, same Lord. It's all about the same God. Some of us say, yeah, but Paul talked about how, you know, if I'm a foot, I need to be a foot. And I shouldn't try to be a hand. I don't think Paul at that point is talking to a church that's serving their hearts out, saying, wait a second, you're serving too much. You should go back and be your other thing. He's talking about being envious of what other people have. Trying to, I want that position, so I'm going to do nothing. He's saying, no. Right now, you're this position. Just take it. Run with it. Carry it. Because if we all do our part, something special will happen. If we all do our part, first of all, it'll be amazing because we'll actually be a team. People will actually work together. I love the idea of walking into this church and have a 70 and a 17-year-old greeting me at the door. Wouldn't that be awesome? People will walk in like this. What in the world is going on here? Why are they both serving me? Why are they working together on something? The rich and the poor serving together. The educated and uneducated serving together, being part of one thing, building something together. Wouldn't that be special to see? Wouldn't it be amazing to see if we could value every member of our team, if every person here could say, I'm no greater than anyone else. It doesn't matter my talents, my gifting, my specialties, my money, my upbringing. It doesn't matter. I have nothing more to contribute to this than anyone else because I just need to play the part that God has given me to play and then do what God has asked us to do. We won't see the full picture of what this church is all about until we all take a piece and we all serve. Anyone ever built a puzzle before? You're building a puzzle. You're sort of creating a puzzle, and over time, you just want everything to fit together. Sometimes puzzles drive me crazy, actually. But anyways, and for us at home, our puzzle pieces are about this big right now. You know, some of you are working on puzzles like they're like this big, and just 5,000 pieces. I'll just quickly whip this puppy up. But my kids. Puzzle pieces are about this big, and there's like six of them. And they still can't figure out how to put the thing together. Like, it's like painful to watch. Am I serious? Do you not see that big? No, you can't put those two. No. Okay, anyways. But what we do with those things, if you're missing a piece, you can't even hardly tell what the picture is. If you're missing 1/6 of the picture, which is the piece of the puzzle, you can't even hardly tell what it is. So what I do with that is I chuck it in the fire. Wait till the kids go to bed. I'm like, this puzzle is useless now. See you later. Because you can't see the picture. You can't see what it's supposed to be. You can't see what it's trying to create. It's going to be constant frustration because you're not getting where you want to get. I believe the same is true for this church, that people, including ourselves, but also including the Comox Valley, will not see what God is trying to accomplish through this church until all of us pick up a piece and play our part. And all of a sudden, we start to see God. We start to see the body of Christ. We start to see something special. Someone says, well, where do I serve? First worry about, do you serve? Yes. After that, sort of, you start to find your place on a team. You know what started happening on those volleyball teams when we did well? Once the best players started learning how to cheer for the worst players started learning how to cheer for the best players. So the best players started excelling, and they all of a sudden had a team backing them up rather than just excelling despite their team, right? All of us find something good when team happens. All of us start to see something special happen when team happens. We can sort of start to think that I deserve a certain role because of how long I've been here or what I've accomplished or how much I've donated or what my gifts are. But the church is not about figuring out what you deserve. It's about figuring out how you can serve. And when you serve, you're not serving just the church. You're serving Jesus Christ, and he's using this place to reach the lost, reach the broken, to care for those who are in need of care. So we got to do it together. Mark 10:35, I want to tell you about a story. There's this moment in Scripture. And it's one that I return to fairly frequently because Jesus has just walked around with his disciples. They've done a number of things. And then Jesus eventually says to these guys who have been walking around with him for a while, he says, look, I need to tell you something. And I've told you before, but I need to tell you, I'm actually going to die. I'm actually going to be killed. I'm sorry to tell you, it's not really great. I know it's hard news, but good news is I'll rise after that. Once I've died, I'll rise up and I'll be there full of life, and it's going to be good. But just so you know, I do have to die, and I don't know if it was a somber moment where things were at. I'm not sure what happens. But right after that, in Mark 10:35, it says, then James and John, these are two of his closest buds, the sons of Zebedee came to him. Teacher, they said. You imagine, teacher, so sorry to hear that. Teacher, look, we're going to stand with you up until that point. Teacher, if you're going to die, but when you come back, we're going to be empowered by you. We promise to carry out your plan. They say, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What kind of crazy question is that at that point? Okay, that's nice. He's going to die. All of a sudden, James and John start talking to each other. Wait a sec. Maybe there's something in this for us. Isn't that crazy? That's what's going on. They're sitting there. That Jesus, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise. And James and John are like, wait a sec. Okay. Yeah, let's ask him. Hey, we need you to do whatever we ask, Jesus. What kind of craziness is it? I don't know if you stop and at that moment in Scripture and check it out for a second, but that's what they do. We need you to do what we ask you to do, because if you're dead, you're no good to us. Like, I don't know what they say to him in that moment, but it's completely offensive, and it makes no sense. We want you to do whatever we ask. Basically, they end up saying, now, when you are in heaven and doing that thing and die and all that stuff, we want you to put one of us on your right hand and one of us on your left, so when people worship you, they see us too. You know, like, we want to be part of that. Can you mix us in that mix? And they have this discussion, and Jesus says, you can't do that. And they say, yes, we can. And a few things go on, and then Mark 10:42-45, it says, Jesus called them together. I love that. You know you said something wrong when you say, Jesus, can we talk to you? Yeah, sure, what's your question? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, everybody in. We're going to need to straighten these guys out, and I don't want to have to say this a few times, so let's all talk this through for a second. And he says, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles were the people who weren't called God's people. They weren't serving God. They were serving their kings and their empires. You know those people. You know they're Gentiles. Well, when they're rulers, they lord it over each other. They lord it over each other. When they have power, they lord it over each other. I was reading that scripture this week and considering what that meant, lord it over each other. It's interesting, the word lord. Lord implies some level of ownership, some level of authority, but also can imply some level of worship. When I have power, I should be worshipped at least a little bit. Not as much as God, obviously, but at least a little bit. I should be worshipped. That's what God's saying. When the Gentiles, when they have power, in fact, at that time in the Greco-Roman world, the empires at the time were worshipped. They were treated as a god. There's this god and this god and this god, and then the empire, the emperor, the god. That's how they treated things. And so Jesus is just calling a spade a spade. He's saying, yeah, that's what happens. When there's power, all of a sudden they want to be worshipped. When there's power and they have influence and they have authority, they want people to worship them as if they have some piece of what God is, as if they have some level of godness. And their high officials exercise authority over them. Authority in that world comes from power. Authority in that world comes from position. If you want a voice, you better have power. If you want a voice, you better have strength. You better have walked through some things. You better have established yourself as an authoritative figure. Then you can have power to speak to people and tell them what to do. And here's what Jesus says about that. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. A servant? You sort of wish that Jesus would have used a different word there, hey? Must be really nice. Whoever wants to be great among you must be very friendly and offer you to buy you McDonald's once in a while. Like, no, servant. And whoever wants to be first must be, I think this word's even harder, a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Can you imagine Jesus saying that? James and John, I hear what you're saying, that you want some glory. You want to be recognized. You want people to know how much you've sacrificed, how hard you've worked, all the giftings that you have, all the talents that you're capable of, all the passions, all the ways your parents have taught you, all the money that you've contributed, all the stuff that you've done. I know you want that to all happen, James and John, and I get that. But if you want to be first, if you want to know the power within the kingdom of God, if you want to know influence, here's the magic ticket. Here's the key. Here's the thing that you need. It is that you should serve every person and be a slave. Be a slave. Worship team, you can come join me. One of the things about slavery is that a slave wouldn't expect promotion necessarily. A slave knows this is my place in life. I'm just going to serve. I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm not going to fight for someone else's position because I'm a slave. I'm not going to assume that I'm going to get more of it. In fact, Jesus, at one point when he's talking about a servant, he says, if a servant is out serving in the field all day long, the master of the servant doesn't say, okay, servant, come on in and let me bake you a big meal. He says, okay, servant, come in and now bake me a meal. Make me the food. And then when I'm done eating, you can see if there's any leftovers. That's the idea of a servant. That's the idea of a slave. That's what he's talking about here, saying, you give and you give and you give. And when do I get? You give and you give and you give. To who? All. Well, how hard is it going to be? It's going to be hard. And how long does it have to keep going on? It keeps going on forever. If you want to be first, if you want to have power, if you want to have influence, you need to be a servant of all, a slave of all. That's what Jesus says. That is a huge challenge. But I'm inclined to say that spiritual gifting has often been misused so that people would become powerful because of it. That people's talents in the church have often been misused so that people would find fame because of it, would find popularity because of it. Look at the position that I get because of how talented I am. In fact, I think often the way that Christians handle talent and spiritual gifting is the thing that determines whether people find their Jesus attractive or not. If we are servant-hearted, then spiritual gifting, it looks so attractive. If your spiritual gift is for others, if your spiritual gifting is for others, if your talent is for others, if your passions are for others, if the way that you live is for others, then whatever you do is attractive to other people. People will look and say, I want the Jesus that that person has. I want to walk the life that that person's walking. I want to have whatever is consuming them. I want to have it for myself. I think before we figure out, because we're going to have some times in the coming months and years where we walk through spiritual giftings tests and personality tests and passions assessments and things like that, figure out who we are. And I believe God's called each of us in very specific ways. He's put very specific things in each of us. Your different testimonies reach different people. Your different talents reach different people. Your different giftings reach different people. And I totally get that. But if we can't figure out how to serve, and I'm not sure that I want us to discover those things. If we can't figure out how to serve in humility with love, I'm not sure I want us to discover some of those things. Because I don't like when I hear Christians talking about how God is using them for this big thing, and everyone else around them is feeling like they're so empowered, they're so entitled, they're hard to be around. It's not what we want. I'd rather someone say, I really don't know what I'm supposed to do, so all I've done is served. People around them say, I like that person. Because they walk up to them and say, hey, do you want to help me? Yeah, I'm not that good, but yeah, of course, I'll help you. No problem. Instead of someone else coming up saying, hey, do you want to help me? Well, let me see. Does it match my gifts mix? Does it match my talents? No, I can't really help you move this week because I don't know. Will there be any leadership development involved? Or Yeah. No, I don't think that's for me, but I bet you can find someone whose spiritual gifting is moving, you know? Let's figure out how to serve. Let's figure out how to give of ourselves. Let's figure out how to be humble and how to love. And I'll tell you something. We have a vision for what could happen in the Comox Valley, and lots of people are asking me right now. It seems like now is the crunch time. People are starting to say, okay, what are we doing? How are we reaching the Comox Valley? What will happen? And I'll tell you what. I don't want to reach the Comox Valley if they come here and they don't feel like they're being served by Christians and they're being loved by Christians and Christians are humbly walking together and believing for each other and spurring one another on and encouraging in the brokenness and seeing healing in here and seeing life in here. If we're not doing it for one another, we can't do it out there. We can't take it anywhere. In fact, we have nothing to take if we're not loving each other, if we're not serving one another. We have nothing to take to anyone else. So my vision for the church, my dream for the church is that everyone in this church would be in a small group and everyone would be here on a Sunday and everyone would join the team. And I'll tell you, you will become attractive. We won't have to figure out ways of going and reaching people. People will start to find us and say, what in the world is going on with you? You love. You care. You actually walk with people when they're hurting. You serve even when you're not that good at serving. And when no one pays you and no one gives you anything extra and no one takes their time to recognize you. And in fact, when they didn't recognize you last time, you still serve the next time and the next time and the next time and the next time, even though they keep giving you zero credit. Why do you do that? It's Jesus. I want to come to your church. I want to come to your church. Yeah, come. You'll find a lot more like me. Wouldn't that be awesome? If they said, you'll find a lot more like me. You'll walk, you'll actually drive into the parking lot and they'll be waving at you. It's going to be hailing on them. It's going to be dumping rain on them. They're going to be like, they look like they're crying, but they're sweating and whatever, but it's just pouring rain and they're out there waving, saying, I'll be back next week. You come too. You walk in the church and people saying, hello, great to see you. Really? Why is it so great? What's going on in your life? Oh, Jesus, that's it. We're in church, that's it. We're just here. People who serve in all sorts of different areas, the kids, workers are going to walk up and say, wow, you get to give us this crying, snotty-nosed baby today? Thank you. Come again next week. I can't wait to take care of your child. Why? Because we're not looking for the specific reward or the specific job that's going to fulfill us. We're trying to fulfill a mission. We're not waiting for God to fulfill us. He has. Jesus came, he died, he rose, he gave you life. Now, what are we going to do with that life? It's the big question. So today, the response to the sermon, to this message, I've got four people here. We have four ministries that I want to tell you about on Sunday mornings. We have lots of stuff actually going on, and lots going on in the week. There's small group leaders, there's youth ministry, there's Young at Hearts, there's Soup and Sandwich, there's all sorts of things. There's the free store, there's lots of things happening during the weeks, but I want to talk about just Sunday for a moment. Because we're going to feel a little bit of a press when we add a second service. And we've said, what if we make room for more? And we decided that we'd reach more people. And so now the question is, what will we do when they come? We all need to play our part. The more people who decide to play their part, the less they'll have to do. The easier it'll be to have that smile when people come. To have that excitement when people come. So I want to tell you about the four areas. First one is guest services. Guest services is led by Pastor George and Jessica. And it's the biggest one, I think, probably here. It's going to include parking, it's greeting, it's the gate coffee, it's ushering, which means people who bring money and take money and count money and do all these things. It's monitoring and security. Anything else that it is? Information center. It's all of the people who, when someone walks in, you're taking care of them. We're going to get you t-shirts printed, actually. We're going to rename the team of Northgate Foursquare Church, and it's going to be called Crew North. Pretty good. Pretty good. You can see that on a hashtag in Twitter. But guest services. If you feel like, I don't actually know where I fit, probably guest services. I don't really know if I have specific talents or specific... Guest services can catch you. And Pastor George is going to be at the side. I'd love for a whole bunch of new people to sign up for that. The next big one is kids. We have kids every single week here. Some of you are currently sitting in quiet. That's new for you. Maybe the week was not quiet. Your kids were loud and things were going on wild and stuff. Well, we've got kids workers who take care of the kids, but not just take care of the kids. They invest in the kids. They pour into them. My daughter, I go home and she's learning Bible verses and she's talking to me about those things. I love it. I love that our kids are learning some of those things. Our kids workers have been so faithful. They've walked so faithfully, continually showing up every week, going to a different room where you don't even see them. You don't even know that they're here. And then we all leave and they clean up the rooms, which sometimes includes some pretty gross things. And then they carry on with their day, getting very, very little credit. If that sounds like a good place for you to serve, God's calling you to that. You feel like you can invest in some young people, you can care for them, you can walk that out faithfully. We'd love for you to meet Pastor Joelle. She's at the back. These are all going to be lined up at the side in a few minutes. We'd love for you to sign up and do kids ministry. You can sing Happy Day at the front even. They do have to do some criminal record check stuff and some interview stuff for that. But that is a big ministry that we really are believing in. If you sign up for that, there's a meeting right after church today where we're going to talk about that a little bit. Next week, there's a meeting right after church for guest services where we're going to talk about that a little bit. Next ministry is worship. They're behind me. They're these people. They're in the sound booth. These are people who are talented and capable musically or wanting to grow in that way. But also, the worship team's looking for people who just say, I want to serve. This worship team is led by Karen and Dion. There's Karen and Dion right there. And they have been leading this so well. These guys run a team night once a month. They do training. They're dreaming about creative nights where we're going to have coffee and just have people create with painting and things like that. They organize and schedule all of this. And by the way, they volunteer all of their time for all of that. Sometimes we say, I just don't have time. These guys both have full-time jobs. And they're running all of that for this ministry. They're going to be at the side. If you say, no, I just want to come and serve them. They show up at, Karen came here before 7:30 today to set up coffee and muffins and things so that the team can show up, eat, enjoy it, and then carry on and do this. It's amazing. If you say, I don't play a musical instrument, but I can pick up coffee. I can set up a room. Worship team might be a good spot for you. And the last one is production. Our drummer back in there. Yeah, there he is. Hey, he's waving. Believe me, he's waving. You can't see, but he's waving. His name's Kyle. He does all of our announcement videos. He's starting to record our sermons. He's getting things online for us. He's setting up whole new things. But he's looking for people. As you can see, he's drumming today. He's looking for people who will hold cameras, who will learn editing, who will start to think about stage lights and some of those pieces. If you're interested in production, he'll be on the side, and you can meet with him and learn about that. I would love for you to find a place to serve in this church on a Sunday morning. There's other areas, and we can talk about them at different times, small groups and things like that. But we're growing. And to meet that growth, would you just consider serving with us? So let's all stand up for a moment. Those four people can go stand over there in that section with their clipboards. That's Karen. Yeah, come on, okay, that's fine. Just go for it. These guys will just do something acoustic-y for us. And our response, I'm going to pray, but our response today is going to be, if this is your church, you consider this your church, I wonder if God might be saying to your heart, hey, would you just give a little bit for now? I'm not saying jump in, okay, time for me to serve 20 hours a week from nothing, but maybe two, maybe four, maybe a Sunday, a month. What might that look like? And so these four groupings here are going to be there, and I'm just expecting that I'm going to pray. These guys are going to start a little song, and you can just go line up. We have a team night coming on January 30th where we'll celebrate all of these new people and all of the teams who have been serving up until this time. It's going to be awesome. If you want to be there, got to get on a team. So I'd love to see you sign up. Let's do it together. Lord, we just believe that you have plans. We believe you got dreams for this Comox Valley and for this church. And Lord, we want to figure out how to give of ourselves to you and to each other. Here's a simple step, God, that we would just serve on a Sunday. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us to walk your plans out. Help us to just love you with our lives and with our actions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.